G'day everyone, this is B. Jermaine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the 14th episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. For this one, I will be reviewing the films Tigers Are Not Afraid, Climax, The Third Murder, and the Coming Back Out Ball movie. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is the Mexican modern-day fantasy horror film Tigers Are Not Afraid. And the plot summary for this film, which I am once again reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. Estrella is an 11-year-old when her mother disappears, a victim of the ruthless Huacas cartel. I probably said that name wrong, so forgive me. Left to fend for herself, she finds companionship and a fragile sense of security with a gang of similarly orphan boys. But Estrella's new reality is complicated not just by the dangers of life on the streets in a city ruled by violent sicarios. She also has a mother's ghost whispering in her ear. Now, I've been hearing a lot of things about Tigers Are Not Afraid for quite a while now. I've heard both good things and not great things as well, but mostly good things. But that being said, though, when I did read what the film was about, and it definitely sort of piqued my interest right away, regardless of what kind of reception it had. But mainly because one of the main things that sort of made me interested in checking out the film is that it had a lot of comparisons to some of Guillermo del Toro's work, in particular films like The Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth. Like, those films are kind of set in sort of during the Spanish Civil War, but this one is set in modern day times during the drug wars in Mexico. So having such a very, like, you know, having a real life situation like that, but applying sort of horror and fantasy elements to it, definitely was a very interesting mix. And I have to say, the film turned out really well because of it. We really caught into the lives of these of the kids in the film, and Estrella, the young, and as a character, is such a compelling on screen presence. And the actress who plays her, whose name escapes me at the moment, but she did such a really wonderful job with the role. But all the cast did really wonderful work, and what's great though is, like, usually with a lot of child actors, that sometimes the performances that can be a bit of a mixed bag. Like, you'll get some really good ones, but also some not so great ones. But luckily, all the kids in this film do such great work with their performances, and they fully play characters, and you get a sense of who these characters are, because these are a group of kids who are living on the streets, trying to survive and getting out of the way of all these cartels, while at the same time sort of experiencing these supernatural events that are around them. But kind of like Guillermo del Toro's work, it's more like the human characters are really more of the monsters within the story rather than the actual supernatural creatures that appear in the film. But the film finds that really good balance between that sort of reality-based situation with the fantastical elements really well. And our director, Issa Lopez, did such a great job with that, in both with her script and also her direction. And, like, I just found it quite a compelling experience throughout. And also, like, the CGI effects, like, yeah, sometimes it did a little hokey, but most of the time it looked really well done, and it didn't take me out of the film as well, because I was truly absorbed into the story. And in a lot of ways, the film kind of does play like a fairy tale in terms of how it's structured. And by the end of it, I just found the ending really touching as well. Like, it is a really well done film, and it was a big surprise for me at MIFF this year. And I'm glad that, for me personally, it definitely was on the good side for me. Like, the film has gotten sort of mixed to very positive reviews, but I'm lucky that the film just worked on me. And this is one I will admit I was a little slightly tired during parts of the film, mainly because I mean, I was seeing, like, oh geez, so many movies that day, or at least for the past few days, that I was just getting a little tired. But But I still found it quite a compelling experience overall, and it's one I definitely want to check out again at some point. So, and I would definitely recommend it. I mean, if you love some films in the vein of Guillermo del Toro's work, definitely check out Tigers Are Not Afraid. And there's a reason why the film is called that, and it's actually a really, really cool way of why the film is called that. But it also is quite touching as well. And it shows as a great showcase for Issa Lopez as a filmmaker. She did such a great job with this film, and I look forward to seeing what she's going to be doing next in the future. So if I had to give Tigers Are Not Afraid a rating, I give it a solid 4 out of 5. Now, moving on to the next film, which is director Gaspar Noé's latest film, which is the insane horror film Climax. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. 20 young dancers rehearse in an empty hall. Beneath the strobing lights and pounding music, their bodies contort and riff through into hypnotic, unearthly shapes. Then it's over and the party properly begins. A humming declaration of youth and beauty and charged eroticism. But this is Gaspar Noé we're talking about. And soon one fateful decision will send them spiraling into a frantic hellscape where they'll discover the true savagery behind their facades. Let's talk about Gaspar Noé quite briefly before I go into my review of Climax. I have to admit, I'm not really the biggest fan of Gaspar Noé as a filmmaker. I know he's only made a couple of films, but I haven't really been a fan of most of them. I haven't seen his first film, I Stand Alone, but I definitely need to check it out at some point. But I'm just going to say, I know a lot of people have praised Irreversible over the years, but I just honestly hated that film. It just was such a miserable, agonizing experience for me. But I did like his follow-up film, End of the Void, which I thought was actually a great film and was one of my honorable mentions on the year it was released in theaters. Although his follow-up, Love, was, that movie was bad. I didn't hate it as much as Irreversible, but yeah, it was still bad. So when I heard that he had a new film coming out, which is the horror film Climax, I was thought, I'll see it because, you know, I always like to give I'll see anything regardless if it's from a filmmaker whose work I mostly didn't like. And I was like, I'll see it. I mean, it's got Sophia Boutella in it, and I've been liking her as an actress a lot over the last couple years. So, I mean, I'll see it at some point, but I'm not in a huge rush to see it. But when the film premiered at Cannes earlier this year, my spidey sense actually peaked up a little bit, especially with one review in particular that actually made me really excited to see Climax. And it was in the review, someone compared the film as Step Up meets Mother. And when I heard that sort of comparison between those two completely separate movies, I was like, I need to see Climax right now because, like, I mean, a Step Up film with the insanity of Darren Aronofsky's Mother, and like that kind of combination is like you don't hear that often. And I love it when somebody describes a film using two completely different films, mash them together and say, oh, this film is like this meets this. If a film can grab me on that level alone, I will watch it. And that comparison made me excited to see Climax. And I thought I would never say that about a Gaspar Noé film. So, but being that this is Gaspar Noé, I knew what to expect going into it. But I also knew that I wasn't probably going to have the bestest time as well. So I was kind of like all over the place, like how I was going to feel before watching this film. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I didn't know what to expect. Now, having seen the film, oh man, I can tell you guys right now that this film was an absolute trip, both figuratively and literally. This one, I would say, is more in the vein of Enter the Void, in that it's kind of more of an experience film and a more technically innovative film in a lot of ways. But I found it such a fascinating film. Like, all the sort of stuff that Gaspar Noé is best known for is completely in this film. Like his pretentiousness, self-indulgence, and some of the thing, and also the other aspects that he's been criticized for over the years. All those things are very much in this film. But the film itself actually works because of those things, which is kind of funny. But at the same time, it is a technical marvel as well. This isn't a film that is driven by plot or character. Like I said, it's more of an experience film. And I'll say this though, like the film has some very interesting ways on how Gaspar Noé presents the story. Like the sort of, the film opens with the end credits, and also, and we get interviews with the actors in the film, who actually are, besides Sofia Boutella, who's the only name in the film, all the other actors in the film are all real life dancers. And we get sort of little interviews with them. And then we go into this absolutely amazing dance sequence in the film, which I thought was phenomenal. This scene in particular is probably one of the best scenes that Gaspar Noé has ever directed. Like, this is without a doubt up there as one of the 10 best scenes I've seen in a film so far this year. It is, the dance sequence is just amazing, and all the actors, like, since they are all real life dancers, how they dance in this scene is just amazing, and also spellbinding in a lot of ways. Like, how they did some of it, I was just blown away by. And then, of course, like, it starts with that, and then as the story progresses, something happens, and all hell breaks loose. And I'm not going to say how, but let's just say for the next, like, at least an hour after that, it just goes into complete full-blown insanity that you would expect from Gaspar Noé. That being said, though, like, I will say this, having seen most of his previous work, I was expecting a lot worse and a lot more disturbing and distressing stuff in this film. But surprisingly, the film is kind of a little tame compared to his other works. But that being said, though, there's still a lot of disturbing stuff in this film. Let's just get that out of the way. But compared to his other works, it's not as disturbing, if that makes sense. But all that, but I digress. But man, it's just like, once all hell breaks loose, the film is just like a non-stop roller coaster of intensity. And like, no joke, I was on edge throughout this last half, and it just made me completely anxious watching it. And because I didn't know what to expect, like, what is going to happen throughout this absolutely insane last half. And a lot of the sort of mother comparisons are definitely valid in this last half. Maybe not quite as insane as the last half of Mother, but just almost as insane, let's just say that. But man, everyone just goes full bore with their performances, particularly Sofia Boutella. I know there's one section of the film that has gotten a lot of comparisons with Isabella Adjani's performance in the film Possession, especially one particular scene, and which is very disturbing. In a lot of ways, Sofia Boutella does her own take of that infamous, insane scene. And wow, like, this is definitely, I mean, I like Sofia Boutella. Like, I've liked her in a lot of the films that I've seen over the years, like Kingsman, Star Trek Beyond, and even The Mummy. This is definitely without a doubt her best performance. Like, not just emotional, but physical as well. The cinematography is spellbinding. The music and soundtrack is amazing. Like I said, it doesn't really have much in terms of character or story. Like, we get time with little characters and stuff like that. So we get to know about them a little bit before all hell breaks loose. But overall, it's, Climax is an absolute trip of a film, and believe it or not, this is actually one of Gaspar Noé's films that I would definitely like to see again, and particularly on a big screen, because I feel like you'll definitely embrace it more. I mean, you'll get even more out of it on the big screen. It's so, like, wow. So if I had to give, and it is a horror film, like, and there are some pretty disturbing and distressing stuff in it. So if you are sensitive to stuff like that, probably not seek Climax out, but if you're game, definitely check it out. It, like I said, it's an absolute trip for sure. So if I had to give Climax a rating, I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5. It is something, let's just say that. Now, moving right along to the next film, which is the second film that Japanese director Hirokazu Koreeda had at MIFF this year, which is the courtroom drama The Third Murder. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. Charting the intricacies of a death penalty case, The Third Mother might seem like a departure from Koreeda's usual oeuvre. But the legal drama deftly translates the writer-director's empathetic touch to thrilling new territory, a patient, probing courtroom drama that dissects the very nature of truth, seethes with palpable tension, and features devastating performances from its high-profile leads. Now, it seems like, what's funny though, the last couple years that I've been attending MIFF, there's always at least two films that play that are made by the same director. Like last year it was Terrence Malick, because he had both Song the Song and Voyage of Time playing. So this year it happens to be Hirokazu Koreeda with The Third Murder and also Shoplifters, which is a film I already reviewed a couple episodes back. The Third Murder was actually made before Shoplifters, and released before that film, but both these films are actually playing for the first time here for the Melbourne International Film Festival. So I was kind of interested in that regard, for the fact that, you know, there's two Koreeda films, but they're both very different, with The Third Murder being particularly interesting, because this film is definitely a change of pace for Koreeda as a filmmaker, since all of his previous films have been sort of like these kind of social realistic sort of dramas, but this time he sort of tackles a more conventional sort of courtroom drama while also having those elements of his previous work into this one. So I was very curious to see how he would handle, you know, being out of the box and trying a different genre, because I like it when filmmakers who are kind of best known to making one type of film and then just completely go in a different direction and give us something else that we have not seen before. So, and since if you heard my review of Shoplifters, I wasn't the biggest fan of that film. I thought it was solid, but it did have a lot of problems. So I was kind of curious to see how The Third Murder was going to compare. And I have to say, after watching this film, I got to say, I actually like this one less than Shoplifters. At least Shoplifters, which I gave 3 out of 5 to, actually, it was, even though it was a bit of a mixed bag, but there was a lot of good elements to that film that outweighed more of the stuff that I found flawed. But The Third Murder, I just really wasn't taken in by this story, which is kind of a shame, because all the hallmarks that Koreeda is best known for with his films are definitely present in this one. But yeah, I just wasn't really taken by the story or the characters, which is a shame. I think the main reason for that is like, it's just another standard kind of courtroom drama. Like, it doesn't really sort of add or bring anything new that we haven't seen before in other films. And also, sort of a lot of the twists and turns of the story are pretty predictable as well. Like, I saw a lot of them a mile away, so when they actually happened, the impact of them didn't really hit me that hard, which is a shame, because there are some qualities about it that do work. Like, it's really well directed. It has some really strong performances from its cast, particularly Koji Yakujo, who's one of the leads in the film. I thought he did a great job with his performance. And yeah, and I like that it felt like a very realistic film. And that's something that I always love about Koreeda as a filmmaker, is that he makes his films as grounded as possible. And The Third Murder is definitely no different from that regard. But unfortunately, though, Yeah, I mean, and also I just kind of felt like, since, you know, the third murder wasn't anything particularly new, I just didn't, like I said, I just found it a little dull in spots, and it just kept, and it dragged a bit, and it just felt a little too overlong for my liking. Or at least, I know that the film was just over 2 hours long, but it just felt longer, and I think because I just wasn't really engaged by the story, which is a shame, because there are the elements are there, but yeah, just the film itself just didn't really work for me, which is a shame, because like I said, I give credit for Kurosawa for, you know, trying something different with one of his films, but unfortunately, I just didn't think this one really worked for me, sadly. So if I had to give The Third Murder a rating, I'd give it about a 2.5 out of 5. Now, moving right along to the fourth and final film, which is the Australian documentary, The Coming Back Out Ball movie. And the plot summary for this one is as follows. LGBTQIA plus seniors have been pioneers in many ways, beginning the fight for equality in an era when being queer could land you in jail, lose your job, or worse. But as they age, some started going back into the closet in nursing homes or when accessing aged care services, owning to feeling unsafe in these environments. Created by the All the Queen's Men, the Coming Back Out Ball was a glittering red carpet evening held in October 2017 to celebrate these pioneers and their achievements and to combat invisibility for the LGBTIQA seniors. Hosted by cabaret legend Robin Archer, with a guest list that included Carlotta, Deborah Cheatham, Jerry Connolly, and the who's who of Melbourne's elder LGBTIQA plus community, it was a night to remember. I have to admit, the Coming Back Out Ball movie, like when I sort of read up on the film, it did sound really interesting, but at the time, I wasn't able, when I was putting my list together for the first time, as much as I found it kind of an interesting film, I just couldn't fit it in the first time, so I had to kind of... It was one of the films that at first I had to knock off my ever-growing list because it just kept colliding with other films. But then when a friend of mine who was going to the film, she wanted to know if, you know, was I able to see it? So at first I wasn't sure if I was able to, so I thought I'll see what I can do. So I moved a couple of things around, and I was able to check out the film. And also, the Coming Back Out Ball movie was also the closing night film as well. I didn't see the closing night presentation. I saw one of the two screenings that it had the next day. So I went and saw it, and I wasn't sure what to expect. But I have to say, after watching the film, I found this such a wonderful little documentary. And this film is a definite crowd pleaser through and through. And it is a true celebration for our LGBTQIA plus seniors. And sort of hearing all their stories throughout the film and like how they've dealt with their sexuality and gender in their lives, especially in their younger years and as they've gotten older, was both really powerful, moving, and also, and just sort of have this event sort of that was created for them as a celebration for them was incredibly heartwarming. And especially when you sort of get to know these interviewees and hearing their stories and seeing what they're doing in the lead up to this event. And like I said, this film, and it happened here in Melbourne, so I was fully aware of this event when it happened, but to see sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff that went into the Coming Back Out Ball, and as well as seeing the people who were going to attend being interviewed, it just really elevated the film in a lot of ways for me. And, like, it's really... But that's the thing, like, the film is heartbreaking at times, but it's also really funny and really entertaining. And believe me, there are some characters in this film who are completely larger than life, who just pretty much a lot of them just steal the movie. And a few of them were at the screening that I attended, and they did a Q&A afterwards, which was great. And yeah, I just really enjoyed this documentary a lot. And I think, like I said, this one is a true blue crowd pleaser. And it also sort of, you know, is a great insightful documentary that sort of these elders of the LGBTQIA plus community. And yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful little documentary that I highly recommend everyone to check out. So once the film does get released in cinemas or streaming, or I'm not exactly sure where the film's going to play yet because it just had its world premiere at Melbourne, but I know they're going to be working on distributing this film very soon. But wherever it ends up, wherever it's in cinemas or on streaming services, definitely check out the Coming Back Out Ball movie. It is a wonderful little doco that I definitely recommend for sure. So if I had to give this film a rating, I give it 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one a lot. Well, yep, that's it for the 14th episode of my 2018 Myth audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and keep a lookout very soon for my 15th and final episode, in which I'll be reviewing the films Mandy, Behind the Curve, The Eyes of Orson Welles, and Ash's Purest White. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys all later. See you, everyone. Bye.